Romans chapter 5, we're going to read six verses starting at verse 12. Bible says, therefore, just as sin, would you say sin? Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all men sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift, and we're going to spend some time on this today, the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift follows many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and I pray a hedge of protection around this place, Lord. I pray that you would bind every distraction, Lord. I pray clarity would come. There is some tough, tough stuff in these words that we have read today. Lord, I pray that you would bring clarity, that you would bring understanding, Lord. I pray that you would bring deliverance, Lord, and justification to this room, to this building, to those of us who sit here this morning, Lord. Sitting under wrath, sitting under judgment, sitting under condemnation, Lord. Sitting in sin, that you would guide us out, and we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Well, my son, my wife said, this is so odd because we have one car here today. My son rode his bike. Mr. Aaron has blessed him. Are you here, Mr. Aaron? I saw you step out. Step back in. Not yet. He is out running, doing something. But he blessed my son with a, I don't know, is it 10 speed, 20 speed? What is, how many speeds that thing got there, Joe? More than he's counted yet. But he has visions of being a cyclist, that he is going to be, and I don't know how many times he's actually ridden the bike. He wanted to bring it last Sunday, and he had ridden around some. I said, no, man, you got to ride a little bit more. And so this week, he went out. You know, it's a little hot this week, and he called me in the midst of his journey and told me that he had indeed had a tumble, that he was heading downhill and hit the front brake rather than the rear brake, and that will catapult you right over your handlebars. But him being a strapping young man of 17 years and strong, he just kind of tumbled with it and rolled on and then made it all the way out to Shelter Island.
Harbor Island.
Wow. Well, Harbor and they're about the same. But anyway, Harbor Island. And called his mom. He said, I think I have bitten off more than I can handle. And he realized that the seat was becoming incredibly hard, and that he had a problem, and his mother, having the gift of grace, answers when her boy calls, and picked him up and rescued him, and so he can have visions of being the cyclist, but train for it. We are taking a look at Romans chapter 5, and it is this culmination of this first section of Romans. It talks about being chained. It talks about being chained by our past, chained by our understanding of God's plan, and chained by sin. And that as we take a look at these first five chapters, that God wants us to realize that we have a problem, that we are indeed chained, because so often we don't ask for help if we don't realize that we have a problem. So in God's mercy and grace, He allows us to become aware of the sin that we live in. And then Paul says that we have a remedy. A remedy in the gospel of God, that Jesus died so that your life of sin could be washed away and you might have new life in Christ. And that is a summary of these first four chapters and going into the fifth chapter of Romans, that we have a problem called sin, and God has a resolution to that, a reconciliation that is available in the life, the sinless life that Jesus led, and the death that He paid on the cross. Paul has set a contrast between the life of wrath that we once led and the life of grace that we have the opportunity to move into. Amen? Amen. Now, he also opens the door to the end point. And we talk about today the glory of God. That as you come into a reconciled relationship with God, that we have a new destination. We call it heaven. We call it the glory of God. And when you realize that you are not headed there, but you are headed to the wrong place, that you can make a call, and our God, being gracious, will answer that call and provide an opportunity for us to go for the glory. Amen? That we can end up in God's glory in heaven. The title of today's message is New Direction. And I hope today that you sit here with a new direction in your life. But if you don't, you can leave here with a new direction in your life. Amen? Amen? All right. Heavy sledding today, folks. Let's take a look. Go back to the beginning of chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And it says, Therefore, points back to all that Paul has said. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. If you got your Bible open, you can circle that peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God gives us a pathway to peace. If God gives us a pathway to peace, we have to ask ourselves a question. Where are we now? Because if God is giving us a pathway to peace, that means we don't start off with peace. Does that make sense? That we are something that is not peace. And in fact, if we take a look at Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 3, says that we were by nature objects of wrath. Now, how many people want God mad at them? I got to think, if there's going to be anybody mad at me, the last person I want mad at me is God. Amen? Because bad things can happen when God is mad at you. Can I get a witness? I mean, have you? My son and I watched that movie Noah. It's not real biblical. And my son said, Dad, how long is this movie? Man, it's like 12 hours long. He says, it is one of the worst 10 movies he's ever seen in his life. But God was angry, and the flood came. Amen? Bad things can happen when God is angry. And he talks about, Paul tells us that we are indeed objects of wrath. In verse 10, chapter 5, he goes on to say that we are enemies with God. Now, we move from then being objects of wrath and being the enemies of God into peace. And we move from being the enemies of God to being the friends of God. Amen? Now, he reveals, back in chapter 1, he is revealing his wrath to those who have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. He is revealing his wrath to his enemies. So, as we were his enemies, we become objects of wrath, objects of his wrath, and in fact, we lead our lives living in the wrath of God, so that we can become aware that we are living lives of sin. Does that make sense? It's like, wait a minute, God's too nice and kind, doesn't pour out wrath. Well, how good is your life before you knew him? If it was that great, you wouldn't have made a change. Can I get a witness on that? My life was in the toilet. And he said, you're in the toilet because you don't know me. And I came to know him, and things got better. And that's what Paul is talking about. And that's what I want you to experience today, this new direction in life, this new opportunity that you can indeed grab on to the glory of God, that there is an opportunity that is made for you through the death of Jesus Christ to be transformed. Amen? Talk about the glory of God that is coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52 says, "But we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye." That there is a transformation that is coming to your body, to my body, to our lives. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Amen? That there is this transformation that gets us ready, because if we moved into the glory of God with our current bodies, we'd probably be vaporized. That we couldn't handle it. But Paul tells us, and the Bible tells us, that there is an opportunity that we can shoot for, and then we can try to grab onto God's glory at the end of our race. And that is why we need new direction. Amen? Bible talks about a shining city on a hilltop that has streets gleaming with gold, that there will be no sun and there will be no moon, because God's glory will light that city, and we can end up there. That's worth shooting for, amen? Amen. I'm shooting for that. Praise the Lord. We get that direction. All right. The path can be rather painful. How many of you have found that to be true? Amen. Yes, let's read about that. Not only so, but this is verses 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Now, did you do that this week? I didn't hear anybody say, you know, I suffered so good on Tuesday. Whew, it was just good. Yeah, I was rejoicing in that, right? It says, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know... It's like, man, I wish this part wasn't in the Bible. We know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. You get that little progression there? And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. We say, wait a minute, why is there suffering? I got peace with God now. I got no more wrath. But here's the issue. We're surrounded by people who got wrath. And we're surrounded by sin. And we're surrounded by all the garbage. I tell you, have you looked at the news lately? There's some stuff going on this planet. And what it is a display of the wrath of God, and a display of the suffering that is going on around us. And we would love to picture this little building as a little cocoon, and there's no suffering that goes on inside. But then we probably wouldn't have let you in. I probably wouldn't be pastoring either. Say, oh, we're not going to let that guy in. You know, we'd probably just have 3 or 4 people. Not going to let anybody else in. That's not the plan of God. So, there's lots of suffering that is going on around us, and we can't live without being impacted by it. And God is so good that he works it out, that it stabilizes our hope. Our hope in what? In that shining city on a hilltop. Gleaming with gold on the streets, with pearl gates and the glory of God as a lamp. Because as you're running through the challenges of this life, sometimes you go, is it really real? See, and you're suffering as you go through, and you're going, man, is it really worth it? And as you go through that suffering, you get perseverance. But if you don't get perseverance, you quit. We've seen lots of quitters come through here. Now, if you don't quit and you keep on keeping on and you persevere in the midst of your challenge, then it develops character as you are honed and molded by the hand of God and molded by the challenges that surround you, that you get character, you get maturity, you get accountability. And some people get to that point and they disappear. And they're flakes. Quitters and flakes. But if you don't, and you develop character, that hope just grows and grows and grows. Because the presence of God and the person of God become so reliable and so tangible in your life that you get through the little challenges of yesterday and the bigger challenges of today and the bigger challenges of the next week, that as you take a look at hope for the glory of God and the city on a hilltop, you're saying, God, you are so reliable as I have come through these little tiny little challenges. Like, I got to thank Mary Jo. Because I tell you what, having a big old growth inside your skull, that's no little tiny challenge. Amen? That God came through and healed me of my challenge. Yeah, I'm believing in a city on a hilltop because he said it's true, and I got faith in him and I believe in him. Amen? And so as you go through the persecutions and the challenges, his word becomes more and more real and your hope becomes more and more tangible. And you'll never turn back. Amen? Amen. Suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. You know, I about killed by my Explorer last week or the week before last. Transmission line, cooling lines busted, radiator filled with radiator fluid, and then it ate up the belt or the hoses, and it ate up the water pump, and it was just like this ongoing thing. The deeper I went, the harder it got, the more stuff I found, and finally, when the water pump and the hose and all this stuff was all done, it's like, got a little perseverance on that. Yes. Amen? Yes. Well, yesterday, I come home and I hear this. And there is this mysterious leak of steam coming out of my motor someplace. And I could just say, I quit. I'm done. And I'd be a quitter. I'd say, well, we'll find out where this little is coming from. Fix that. Something else is busted, I'll fix that too. Why? Because we don't quit. You got to learn that. And you learn that through suffering that comes day by day. Amen? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, point number two, the basis for our hope, that the hope in the city of God, the hope in the glory of God that happens at the end of this age. Point number two, reading from Romans 5, 6 through 9. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. You hear about, you know, Navy SEALs and the Green Berets and the Marines, and they'll dive on their on a grenade to help their buddies out. And there are acts of valor. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, because rarely do the SEALs jump on the grenade to help the guys that they threw it at. They aren't trying to save the enemies. They're trying to kill their enemies. But God's love is this, that while we were his enemies, while we were objects of wrath, he died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Jesus had paid the price. Jesus opened the pathway. He paid the ultimate price for us, death. It was about the sixth hour they put him on the cross, and darkness covered the land for 3 hours, and Jesus hung on the cross, and they spit on him, and they mocked him, and they said, "Come down, and we will worship you." And at the end of that 3 hours, the ground shook, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. And he said, "It is finished." And he said, "Father, I commit my spirit unto you." He paid the ultimate price. And he did that for those who spit on him. By definition, you were at your worst point when you asked Christ to come into your life. That the sins that had accumulated in your life were at their greatest point when you finally said, "Lord, I am a sinner. Come into my life and set me free." And his blood cleansed you from all your sins. At your worst point, think of your worst enemy. That's what you were to God. And that's when his son died for you. How incredible. Paul says that if Jesus died for his enemies, just think what he's going to do for his friends. How much more if he died and reconciled you, what will happen is he is raised to life as we are raised to life with him. That transformation. And as we take a look at the challenges that we face, there's a judgment day coming. And the wrath of God shall be poured out on his enemies. And his friends shall enter into a reward. Glory. We're shooting for glory, folks. You got to grab on to that glory. Paul describes a foundation for our hope. Says, you're shooting for glory. Here's what you can bank it on. Verses 10 and 11. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. See, he is saying this to those who have doubt. Can I really believe? Have you ever had doubt? I've had doubt. We've all had doubt. And the thing is, what do you do with that doubt? Because there's some who say, "Oh, you can never mention doubt. Just put it behind you. If you had doubt, you're just like being a sinner." Paul's addressing doubt right here. You got doubt? Ask me a question. Because you know what? God is big enough, God is right enough, God is true enough that he can move right through your doubt into truth. And if you disavow your doubt over and over again, you will never gain maturity because you've never worked through the hard questions. And when somebody asks you a hard question, you just say, "Well, we don't ask that question." And they go, "How shallow is your faith?" And what will happen is your hope will begin to fade away. Paul says, "Hey, you got a doubt? Let's talk about it." So I'm writing this hard stuff. That's why this book is this thick. That's why it's beyond a first grade level. That's why it's not written in crayon. There's real deal stuff here that you can engage your brain in. He says there's a foundation for your hope. And one of the biggest things is the foundation for your hope is when Mary Jo sits up here and said, "God, heal my head. And God touched my life. And God made this provision. That God is real here. He's going to be real there." Amen? And you can grab onto that glory and it will transform your life. I've experienced God's power in my life. Many of you are living reconciled lives. You are going through this process of reconciliation and stabilization of your hope. The more you go through this process of suffering, perseverance, character, and hope, the more stable and tangible your hope becomes. And the more tangible that glory is, it's like you're reaching out that you can almost touch it. Went to a football game Friday night. Mr. Gade sitting right here in the second row, quarterback. And he scored one touchdown running. I asked him how long it was, because I remembered it being like 40 or 50 yards. He says, oh no, it was like 10 or 15. I said, boy, it looked like more from the announcer's booth. But it came back in a hold, and it's like, touchdown! Beep, beep, beep. Holding. Oh. Then in the third quarter, another running play. And I was thinking 50 yards. He said, no, it's like 20. And he is running. He's getting pounded by all these guys. And he's running and running and carrying guys. And gets to the 2-yard line. That close. And what you get in that is perseverance. And as you keep going, you get character. And that builds hope. And I'm going to get there and grab onto. Now, getting in the end zone, number one, we're shooting for God's glory. We don't get glory. We get to experience God's glory in the end. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. All right. Checking my time. I'm done with that, right? Yeah, there we go. Okay, yeah, there we go. This is where it gets a little bit dicey, folks. I told my wife, I said, you never seen Romans 5 going to be preached the way I preach it today. She said, I'm going to be embarrassed. I said, oh, no. But now for something entirely different. Paul is going to explain the change. And this is so good. I mean, it is a mile deep here, folks. So let's just see how deep we can get. If you got your Bible open, underline this line right here. The gift is not like the trespass. The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? It's like, whoa, man, there's a lot there. Again, the gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And everybody went, what? I'll tell you what, I spent a couple days looking at that. Key there, the gift is not like the trespass. And the difference is experience. Bible tells us that all have sinned. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin. Everyone has some. And it is undesirable. Now, I have some examples, and my wonderful wife has caused this to come to my mind. That is a beef tongue. My wife is not a fan. How many of you are fans of beef tongue? All right, we got like 5. There we go, Beatrice. There you go, girl. Now, it does not look so beautiful uncooked, but there it is cooked. Oh, yeah. Those of you non-fans, what you do is you boil it for like 3 or 4 hours, and then you skin it. Oh, yeah. Now, I realize that we might have some fans of lingua, the beef tongue, but I figured as we move to brains. Now, see, I'm a tongue fan, but say-so's, man, I am like, woo, no, I think not. And so, see, and I put this up there, right, as a display of the sin in our lives. Now, these we call mountain oysters. And you can look them up later, okay? So, as you look at the culinary, now you got to tell me the truth. Nobody's ever heard Romans 5 preached like this, right?
No.
All right. Right, Lisa? Am I right on that? Yeah, okay. So, Paul's saying, right, the trespass is not like the gift. The trespass is this. And for most of you, this is quite revulsive. Yes. Repulsive. We don't want it, and he says everybody's got it. Now, the gift is different. And I'm stretching here, but the gift is what no one has. For there is no one righteous, no, not one. See, each one of us has experienced the trespass, but not one of us has experienced the gift. The righteousness, because no one is righteous, no, not one. Are you getting the difference there? Let me try and make it clear. Beluga caviar costs $4,000 a pound. And I would bet, I guess, can't really say bet in church, I would wager that no one in this room has ever experienced beluga caviar. You might have had caviar, but I doubt it was beluga caviar at $4,000 a pound. Now, Kobe beef from Japan, hand-fed, all this kind of stuff, massage the cows, let me make sure I got this right. I believe it is 150 pounds. Yes, $150 per pound. Now, I guarantee you, George doesn't have any on the grill today. So I'm just getting a little bit more tangible for you, ladies and people. Now, Laura, I got a question for you. Best cheesecake in New York City. What is it?
Junior's.
Plain cheesecake. Junior's, okay. See, I looked it up, and I called George. George's not in here. I figured she knew it. But everybody says Junior's is the best cheesecake in New York City. That's a picture of Junior's cheesecake. I mean, that is a carrot cheesecake right there. And so it's like the gift. The gift is something that you want, but nobody's got. Nobody, and I realize that some of you might have had Junior's cheesecake, but the trespass is so different from the gift because the gift is out of reach. And the trespass, everybody's got it. And nobody wants it. Do you see the difference? No, I wanted something to be able to offer like the gift. And I have it up here. And I'm wondering. I know my son. But is there anybody who would be interested in the gift that I have for you? Well, Joe, Mary Jo, Ann, Lori, Lisa, Terry, Karina, Dave. I'm going to say Roseanne. It's not Roseanne, right? What is it?
Priscilla.
Priscilla. I don't know. Okay, so let me just write this down. Joe. Mary Jo.
Probably going to take too long. Oh, Dana got in now. Karina. Dave. Priscilla. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Michelle. Did Monique say yes? Oh, Pastor Scott. You probably have to give yours away. Monique, did you have your hand up? Monique's not even here. Oh, she did. Okay, Monique. I got Eva. Oh, Lisa. Okay. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right. So we talk about the gift. You can't earn it. You can only ask for it. That's why it's called a gift. All right. Last of our time. Ending up chapter 5. Chapter 6 through 8 of Romans is famous in New Testament theology. We'll continue going through Romans. It'll be a different series focused on 6 through 8 next month. But these 10 verses right here, 12 verses, whatever it is, really tie up the first section of Romans. So he says, consequently, because of all this, rounding up my argument, consequently, just as the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of the one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. And I realize those are big words. They're even hard to read out loud. They're so long. I'm going to read it again. Consequently, just because it's important. Consequently, just as a result of the one trespass was condemnation, judgment, for all men, so also the result of the one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. This is that opportunity that comes in the gospel. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Praise the Lord. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Adam brought sin and Jesus brings righteousness. Adam brought condemnation and Jesus brings justification. There is a day that's coming when you will get one or the other. Condemnation or justification. Revelation chapter 20 talks about that day. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. We're going to come back to that book in a moment, the book of life. The dead were judged. The dead were condemned according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Because you've got the trespass. You get it from Adam. It comes passed down from great, great, great grandpa Adam. And we got it in us. And one of the first things that we do is sin. So we got it in our nature. And we have grabbed onto it by our actions. And we are all objects of wrath. And we are all objects of condemnation. But in the gospel is a new way. And that new way describes how to be transformed in your life to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are transformed, your sins are washed away, and Jesus writes his name and says, "This is my boy, Bob Metz. I have saved him, and he is part of my family. And I have been transformed." And he says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown. Why? Because everybody is condemned by their works.
It is like the trespass. We don't want it, but we got it. But the gift is different. The gift will get you by judgment. And that's what the first five chapters of Romans are all about. Sam, you're going to come up here and play, right? Many of you have new direction. 12 of you said, Pastor Bob, we want your gift. Some of you, like Robert, I probably should have just kept one slot open for Robert because he's going, I don't know this guy. And it's not Junior's Cheesecake. I did not send away to New York City for Junior's Cheesecake. And realistically, last night, I did not go to the Cheesecake Factory. But I did go someplace. I went to Coco's. You guys know about Coco's, huh? And I got cheesecake. I'm going to open this thing up. Oh, there we go. Because for the gift to be any good, you got to open it, right? Oh, yeah. Now, let me see that. See, that's kind of tangible hope right there. And you know, some of you right now, you know what? I should have kept one for me. Some of you right now are going, oh, 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 I didn't know what it is. Pastor Scott can't eat his. Yeah, his wife's looking happy. But you know what? On Judgment Day, wife doesn't get to ride on your coattails. See, on Judgment Day, there's going to be some people who are going to go, oh, I should have put my hand up. See, the gift is different from the trespass in that you got to ask for it. And there's a time when it is no longer offered. Today, unless the Lord comes in the next 1 minute, the offer is still open. Cheesecake's gone. But salvation and righteousness and the gift is open. Now perhaps, and I know many of you have received that gift. And if that is you, I just want you, you think about the people that signed up for the Cheesecake, they're kind of going, woo, yeah, when do I get it? And they're happy. Well, you get God's glory if you have asked for the gift already. And because of that, there should be, Paul said, that we rejoice in the gift of God. We celebrate that. And I want you, just as my wife is leaning forward right now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, just if you do, I would invite you to just kind of tilt your head forward and just begin to say, God, you are so good. Man, I was such a loser. I was your enemy. I was lost in sin, Lord, and you have set me free, and I have got hope for glory in the future. And there should just be a celebration and a rejoicing in your heart from that. And as you do that, I would also just ask you to pray for the next several minutes for those that are here that have not asked for that. Because some of you have not received that gift. And it is a whole lot worse if you have not received that gift than if you have not received Coco's Cheesecake. But right now, the Lord Jesus Christ says, and he says that I have poured out my wrath, that you have experienced my wrath, that you can understand that you have a problem. that is worth in brains and tongue and mountain oysters. But I hung on a cross that you might be set free. And I bring that offer to you this morning at 1128 San Diego, California, that I am bringing right now an offer of eternity, the offer of my glory, the offer to have all your sins washed away. And if you want that this morning, you do not have it. You are not praying. You are not rejoicing. You are not celebrating. That as mighty as this is, right now you just say, oh, Lord, I don't want to get to judgment day and not have asked. I want to ask. I just want you to just, you're not praying. I want you to slide your hand up right now and say, that's me. I want to ask. Right now, I want to ask. Back here, somebody else would say, I want to ask. I don't want to get to that last day. And you slide your hand up and say, God, I want that gift. Anybody else? Right here and here? Put your hands down. Back there. Danielle, put your hands to yourself. Anybody else say right now? Say a hand back there. Get to the end. You don't want to be thinking like you saw that cheesecake going, oh, I should have asked. You never asked. Right now, you can get a new direction in your life. Last shot. You want a new direction, slide your hand up and say, that's me. I see that over here and here, here and here. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your goodness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that on Judgment Day, Lord, I thank you on Judgment Day, Lord, that I get saved, Lord, because I know you. And back 20 years ago, Lord, I said, Lord, here's my life. You can have it. I have destroyed it. You put your hand up today. Jesus says, I'll give you a new life, but I need your life in return. And you come to him and you give him your life. There is this moment in which you have nothing. Your old life is past and the new life has not yet arrived and you have nothing. And that is the point of faith, to get past that point that you would say, Lord, I trust you enough that you are going to bring me your life. He said, give me your life, I'll give you mine. And so right now, those of you who raised up your hands and you have not made that exchange yet, I just would invite you in your heart to just say, Lord, as I did, I said, Lord, my life is so destroyed, such trash, such garbage. I have destroyed my life, Lord. I'll give it to you. And I pray right now that you are doing that in your heart. Say, Lord, this is all yours. And as you do that and you have nothing, his Holy Spirit begins to just fill your soul, fill your heart, and new life. New life that includes suffering. New life that includes perseverance and character and hope begins to take place. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to celebrate God's goodness. I invite the worship team to come on up. The rest of you can all just stand. It's Labor Day. God has done a mighty work here among us today, that he has set the captive free, that he has made new life where there was only darkness. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen.